Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're glad you made it and chose to join us. I have with me tonight Anne out in Texas. Good evening, Hello. Anne.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Robin.
And Megan and Karen in sunny Vermont. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Good evening.
And tonight we're continuing in chapter 1 of Romans, and we got through verse 19 last week, but because it kind of starts this section that Paul's writing, we're going to go back and Karen is going to read starting with verse 16 of Romans chapter 1.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
I wanted to stop you there, because you notice, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And how is it revealed? It is revealed through people believe him. And it's not a matter of the people being better than other people, but because they believe God, he's able to move in and through him. And his righteousness, let's see, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, is revealed. And of course, it's, you stop and think, the fact that we aren't righteous but are clothed in his righteousness, you can see how that fits there and why it, where it says there, the just shall live, God revealed from faith to faith. It is revealed through faith. And the just shall live by faith. That's the way the just live. They live because they believe God. They have that faith where they have turned from their own ways, really. And it's kind of the thing about that is, I don't think we recognize the majority of the time how much our mind is spent on our own ways. Our own thoughts, our own thinking and imagination, so to speak. And it's something that as we begin to recognize, we can put off and replace it by faith. And one of the ways that you can really see this is when you begin to wonder about things or question things, and I don't mean question things about the Word of God, but just question stuff that you think, or stuff that you think somebody is expecting of you, or whatever your particular thing are, you have an advocate with the Father. And if you'll turn from the wonder or the concern or the cares that you find yourself in and turn it by faith unto him and believe that he's able to guide you through different things, you begin to go from, you know, to walk in that the just shall live by faith. So Anne, Megan, Karen there.
And I always thought, as you can correct me if I'm wrong, but going from faith to faith is when you put your faith in him and you go forward and he shows up, then it gives you more faith to go on and do it again and again and again.
I think on a personal level, that's exactly true, that we personally go from faith to faith. It's a continuous choice that should be building, not static. But there's also, in this context, where it says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, I believe that's true, but I also believe if you look at the continuity of the Bible from the beginning, and we saw Abel and the righteousness of God, and we'll see that where the with the wrath and all, and then you see Abraham, and you see all these different witnesses, and the witnesses in the New Testament, and then and it all was faith, the connecting thread through all of them, and they were entirely different people, like who was like Samson? I mean, was there anybody else like Samson? But it's the faith that is that they share, and God's righteousness is manifest because of it. So I think there's both. Anne?
I have nothing to add to that.
Nathan?
Me neither.
And I thought it was interesting with the word just, because I remember we did a Bible study on just people and, you know, who are mentioned in the Bible as being just, and Noah, John the Baptist, Jesus, of course, and Simeon, who saw Jesus and then could be taken up, taken from this life,
and
Joseph of Arimathea.
Joseph, Jesus' stepdad.
Yes, and Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, being a just man, was minded to put her away privily, put Mary away, because when he found out that she was pregnant.
Right.
And, you know, these were all just men mentioned in the Bible, and they're also, you know, it's also talks about believers as well being just.
Yeah. And so if the just shall live by faith, if you can really see how you can't be just outside of that choice of faith and trust in Christ in all, in everything. But we got to keep turning ourselves back to that, because we find ourselves somewhere else. Just in a given day, we can find ourselves all wrapped up in something else. So if you'll pick up on 18 there, Karen.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Okay, I maybe should have stopped you a little further up. So here it's talking about the wrath of God, and we were talking earlier before we came on, because we're going to get down to stuff that clearly speaks of the fact that homosexuality is not something God approves of. It is something that is sin, and it's wrong, and there's... You can't, and it's clear in the Bible. That was the thing, and we were talking about how Sodom and Gomorrah, you saw this come to pass, the wrath of God revealed from heaven against that ungodliness. But it goes on, and it says, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then it begins to open up that one, where in verse 19, that there's things that manifest God that are available to be known, and it's in them because God has showed it to them, but they don't receive it as it's given. One of the greatest examples really is when you look at when Jesus, those 3 years of his ministry, and then when he went to the cross, and we know that the priests and the Pharisees, these guys knew that Jesus was a man who came from God, because the testimony that they had through Nicodemus was that no man could do the works that he did except God be with them. And yet, because they did not want that truth, they held it, that which they knew, in unrighteousness, and instead ministered a lie and ultimately finagled it to crucify Jesus. Or you see in that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was always battling against the fact that there was anything we could do that made us acceptable to God. Like, I'm a Christian and I do right. You're not a Christian. You don't do right. I do this, that, and the other thing. Or I don't do this, that, or the other thing. And Paul knew and preached, and we're going to see where he actually calls it his gospel. And that is because that which he spoke was the absolute truth, and he would give no place to even the smallest speck of a lie in the ministry of the gospel, which is solely and completely on what God did and always will be. And the reason is there's nothing we can do that is acceptable to God other than take him at his word and walk it out in accordance with him. That's holding the truth in righteousness. So before we move into 20, ladies.
Well, as you said, the Lord gives us evidence that he is alive, that he is real, that he is the creator. The testimony is there if people will want to see it.
Yes. So Karen, go ahead and pick up, which is a continuation now with verse 20.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Okay. I hope you guys will speak on this, because for me, this is these two verses have a lot of examples that can be thrown out there. So first of all, Megan, you kind of touched on it, that it's there. God is evident. The evidence of him is there. And it's clear to see, kind of like the theory of evolution people take with not only no evidence, but all the evidence actually says it isn't true. It's based on a nonsensical theory and built upon that. It's just not the truth. It's not even scientifically possible. And yet it's spoken as though it is science. So by scientists who know better, but they don't want to know better. And they are without excuse. But when you look at 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, you figure Adam's children, you figure Noah, they were, and his family were on an ark. They knew God. Back before Adam fell, and you go back into Genesis and see where the Lord commanded the people to be fruitful and multiply, they knew God. I mean, there's just evidence all the way up. There's always been a testimony of God. You had it with Abraham, where that testimony was still there when the children of Israel, hundreds of years later, took Jericho. The people in Jericho knew that that land had been given to the Jews because it had been given to Abraham, their father, back 400 and some years before. And there was only one person that sought the mercy and acceptance of God. Only one, and that was Rahab. But throughout time, people have known God. Our nation's a great example. Well, Israel first. They went in under Joshua. Those people were strong and they were faithful. And you just saw the up and down and up and down of Israel in its service and fidelity to the Lord. But then you see it in our own nation. Not that everybody in our nation was Christians, but those who were salted the nation, and God was able to bless it and be glorified in that. And yet, where do we find ourselves now? Vain in our imaginations, with foolish hearts that are darkened. And I don't mean us, but this nation. And notice that in there, where we don't give God the glory, hence we're not thankful to God. You can't be thankful for something you don't recognize as a gift. If you think you earned it, if you think you deserve it, whatever, there's no reason to be thankful. So ladies,
an example. Go ahead, Ann.
God is visible all around us. We just have to have our eyes open to see it. But it comes down to, do we want to see it? Many people out there don't want to see it, so they blind themselves to God's movement, Just look at nature, you know, the plants and the animals and all that. God is very visible in all of that if you want to see it. But it comes down to, unfortunately, most people out there don't want to see it. They don't want to know the truth, and they blind themselves to it. And that's who he's talking about here. Your foolish heart is darkened. They don't. Like I said, they don't want to know. And that, to me, is very, very sad. They don't want to know the truth.
Amen. Megan?
Another example of them, people who knew God, but then didn't glorify him, weren't thankful, were the 9 lepers. One was thankful and came back. And but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's kind of a cool thing in if you look at the words of it, because all of us have a foolish heart, one that is without the Lord, until we choose him and receive light, which comes through him. Jesus is the light. And so, you know, without him, your heart becomes darker. And as you said, you know, the Christians have become unsalty, and so there is less light and more darkness in our country, speaking specifically. But we don't have an excuse. As Anne said, you know, the Lord, to me, one of the, perhaps because I live in Vermont, where you sort of prepare the whole year for winter, the seasons are something the Lord put in place. And you can look at the seasons and know that seasons come, that there is an end to this one and a beginning of a new one. And they come in a cycle, and they always come. Maybe not as warm or as cold as you kind of would like, but that season continues and has always been the same and will continue until the end is there.
Very true, Megan. But I thought it was very interesting that you said we all have foolish hearts until we turn and accept Christ. And so that's a starting point for all of us, but those who reject, their hearts are then darkened. That was a very good point. Karen, 22.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Okay, stop right there for a moment. So, you know, I mean, this one is pretty clear. Those who tout their own wisdom, and this can be from the scientists to from the pulpit, you know, I mean, it's the intellectuals of our country. They profess themselves to be wise, or of the world. Let's take it past our country. And yet they rejected that which is true, and therefore they have become fools. Now, because the truth hasn't been manifest to show their lie, in a way, they're getting away with it for the moment. But verse 23, where they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, and then it goes through a couple of ways. Corruptible man. So you have God made in our image, and not only because we define him in accordance with our own choice of understanding, meaning we don't have to, we could actually come into agreement with the revelation he has made of himself, but also because one of the biggest things out there now is God is a woman. Well, talk about making him in your own image. That is not the truth. God is not a woman. And yet it's pervasive in our culture nowadays, even amongst men, which is just rather mind-blowing. Or God is black, or oriental, or whatever. All of this is an evidence of making God in our image, as though these things don't even matter. Certainly not to God, the color of our skin. or whether we're male or female. And yet we are so hung up about it, we have to exalt ourselves. And that's why it says, like to corruptible man. Man is corruptible. He's corrupted and corruptible outside of an adherence to the revealed God, who is Jesus. And but you also see it where the worshiping of the animals and all. And one of the things in this nation that I think really started in the 1960s was the reverting back to pagan religions. So all of a sudden Indians were great and wonderful and white man's only evil. Or a lot of people nowadays go to other religions that are outside of this nation. And they're all the worshiping of things or beasts or stuff like that, where we're almost servants to beasts rather than that which God said in Genesis, where we, I can't think of the word, but subdue. Anne, Karen, Mika?
It is rather a daft idea to worship something that you, with your own hands, have made. Maybe I'll find it somewhere in one of the prophets. I found a thing about that. Perhaps I will find it. But it really is an idiotic idea that you consider something greater that has come from your own hands and is something that has no life in it or no power or no anything.
Well, stop and think, if we worship animals, they didn't create us. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. It's obvious that man was set over this world and was to subdue it, you know? I mean, there's no way you can say that he should be under any animal you want to pick.
Well, you know, that you just look out here today, just read almost every day in the news that animals now are being put above people. We see it with that PETA organization, and there's other organizations out there too, that it's like animals have more rights than people. And that, and they got it totally reversed. It's like you said, God said we're to subdue the world there. The animals were in subjection to us, not the other way around. But, I mean, all of a sudden, animals seem to have more rights than people do anymore. So that's elevating them to almost a position of creator.
And I had hired a gentleman to do some carpentry work in my house, oh, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. And so he came over a few times, and we were talking one day, and somewhere in the conversation I said, well, people are more valuable, might have been the word I used, I might have used important, than animals. And like, if you had to save a person or an animal, the valuable one there would be the person. And it was really funny because he goes to me, he goes, well, we better stop talking right now so we won't be friends anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, we ain't friends. I mean, I'm hot and paying you to come do work for me. Where's the friend in that, you know? But it was really striking to me that he didn't know that. How the heck can that be? Makes no sense.
I was telling somebody how I walked down an aisle in a, I think in the pet store, and just saw all of these things for dogs, toys and this and that, even tutus and nail polish and, I mean, really? But anyway, the point that kind of came to me as I was doing that was how much, as we've said here, how much esteem is placed on animals and the great lengths and expense that people go to preserve their animals when their children are going to hell.
I mean, in no way are we saying we're supposed to abuse animals.
No, absolutely not.
We're supposed to be taking care of them.
Yes.
I actually think abusing them is putting nail polish on them.
I agree. And dressing them up in clothes.
But you guys have never had a little poodle. bows in their hair. But no,
I've had a poodle, but he never wore anything like that.
It's not saying that animals don't matter and that you can't love them and they can't be an important part of your life and that you don't take care of them well. But without a doubt, they have taken in the world a position that is not balanced and right, and some people go well beyond. This is what man has done in rejecting God, putting it simply, and then picking up with verse 24, what God does in response.
Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Okay. So God gives them up to uncleanness, things that aren't, let me just tell you what, impure, unclean, physically or morally. And, you know, you stop and think of the kind of fruit that has been born from this uncleanness and activity by the rejection of God. In the 90s, I think it was when the whole AIDS thing came out. And that is an unclean thing, and you can see the fruit of it. And there certainly are people who have gotten AIDS and have not done that which maybe deserved that recompense. But mostly it comes from what we're going to read, the unnatural use between a man with a man and a woman with a woman. And it's the recompense of that. And it's unclean. I mean, none of us want to be hanging out and getting the blood of an AIDS victim in our veins. You know, we know it's not pure and right and clean. And what? Through the lust of their hearts. So they're driven by whatever it is they want without any accountability, concern, even fear, because they're not even ashamed of it anymore. It is so, stuff is so out in the open and in our face nowadays. And they decide, you know, dishonor their bodies between themselves. This is a joint effort amongst people, and it's preached. And as Anne was saying to us earlier, I don't believe it was on the air, but she can repeat it. It is preached, and they take the word of God and say it is not even what it says. I mean, they lie. They change the truth of God into a lie, and they serve the creature, not the Creator. Well, it is going to be to their damnation, but they're bringing a lot of people with them, and a lot of them, I mean, it's not like the Lord wants to damn people because of their sin, but he can't save a person who won't turn and acknowledge they're wrong. It's that simple. Anne?
You basically covered it there, in that we had talked about it earlier, that people just reject the Word of God, and maybe they're reading some version that's been perverted, I don't know. But a lot of people out there have never even read the Bible who are saying the Bible doesn't say anything against homosexuality. It's very clear when you read it, and we'll be getting to some verses coming up that you can't deny that God is against homosexuality. And I remember years ago when the AIDS first started, and I think it was back in the 80s, Robin. I think that's when the first case was diagnosed.
Okay.
That Davy had said then, and prophesied really, that because people wouldn't stand against homosexuality, then the AIDS would also go into the heterosexual community. And we've seen that happen. People who have not participated in homosexuality all of a sudden have AIDS because of a blood transfusion. There's been paramedics who have worked on someone at an accident scene because maybe they had a cut on their hand and there was blood involved. They have been infected. And unfortunately, we've seen it come to pass. But there is a Supreme Court thing right now on same-sex marriage. They're expecting a decision by the end of June. And it could change. Well, it just becomes really bad for this, worse for this country than it is already, because there's an acceptance of this sin that God cannot bless us for.
You know, I wanted to read Angie's statement in the chat. She goes, my brother is homosexual and still claims that God is with him and is okay with how he is. More so that God made him that way. Well, you know, God cannot hold you accountable for something you don't have a choice in. And he clearly speaks against homosexuality, as Anne was just talking about. Therefore, homosexuals have a way out. They have a choice. God did not make them that way. He couldn't have, and be righteous. That wouldn't be righteous.
Well, there are people who are homosexual who have come to Jesus, and all of a sudden, they're not homosexual anymore. But you're not allowed to hear those stories, or they're just saying they're deceived, and they're just hiding what they really are. I mean, they come up all kinds of excuses that God can deliver someone. And we've seen in many, many instances, not just homosexuality, but other things, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever, we've seen God deliver people from sin. The people out there are blinded to what God can do because they don't want to see it. And yes, these people out there that say, oh, I'm happy the way I am, God made me this way, they don't know God's word and they have believed a lie.
I would suspect there are many who aren't happy but think they're supposed to be, and therefore they choose to say that. I'm sure there are those that are happy, don't get me wrong, but I am certain that notwithstanding people saying that, yeah, there's a heck of a lot of sad homosexuals that wish they were not in the place they were at.
Yeah,
and God is there if they would only turn.
Yeah, evidently the suicide rate among homosexuals is higher than the national average of what suicide rates are.
If you don't mind, I'll tell a little story of deliverance. I heard it, this guy's testimony, and it was pretty amazing to me because he had been born into the church, in a Christian family. And he obviously wasn't like a manly kid. He was more like a wimpy kid. And somewhere along the line, an adult had used him in a wrong way. I don't know the extent, so I don't want to say, and I know statistically that is out there as a fact. But however, he found himself in homosexuality. And the thing was, is he knew it was wrong, but he didn't know, I mean, there he was. You know, he couldn't seem to find his way out. And he happened to go to a Second Chapter of Acts concert, and for older people, they may remember the Second Chapter of Acts. And he illegally brought in a recorder to record the concert. And in the middle of the concert, in the middle of a song, the Lord delivered the man. And he started weeping. So you had this all on tape. They played it. But Annie Herring, who was the lead of that group, the Lord had her stop. She stopped the whole thing, stopped everybody, shut everybody up, and said she knew that the Lord was moving and that there was somebody who had been delivered right then. The Lord just quickened it to her, and she stopped the whole thing, and that was that second witness to what was going on with that guy. And he was delivered. And he happens to be a Christian songwriter, and he happens to be married and has a lot of kids. And the Second Chapter of Acts gave him permission to share that portion of this illegal recording of his deliverance from homosexuality. But I will tell you this, the end of that was the churches rejected him, which is, I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing. You know, God obviously didn't. But it's a beautiful testimony, and that man was not happy in his homosexuality, but he was there. but the Lord in his mercy and grace. And obviously, and as you said a few times, he didn't want to be there. And the Lord met him, and he was delivered, and has been free of it ever since.
Amen. And then, yeah, unfortunately, stories like that are kind of censored. I don't know how else to put it. They censor any story like that because it goes against what they're trying to push forward.
Yeah, and you have to figure that the media and all of this stuff is, it doesn't even matter what the cause is, as long as it undermines and makes a lie the word of God. So homosexuality is a great one, and you have leaders that are, I think we'll read about it in this chapter where they're, we will, let's just get to it rather than me say it poorly. It's the very last 8 words of this chapter.
Yeah.
If you want to look ahead. So was that, yeah, 25. So now we're on 26, which is just going to be the furtherance of this discussion.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
Okay, now that word unseemly, I was just looking up a few words. Is indecency, shame, that which is unseemly. And stop and think, homosexuals have been around from the beginning. And say in this country, and Europe here to me, basically age-wise, Karen is, I mean, there are homosexuals we went to school with, but we didn't necessarily know who they were. And there were few, but still, it wasn't something that you broadcast. Now, what is kind of mind-boggling to me is homosexuals can do all sorts of things in public that heterosexuals know better than to do, and they're in the right place. Kissing and pawning all over each other. I mean, I know young people do, but we don't do that kind of stuff, but they do it. And it's wrong even in the heterosexual to do some things in public that now homosexuals shove right in our faces. But if this isn't a clear testimony of homosexuality without using that word, it's pretty flipping clear. And they receive in themselves the recompense of that error, which is appropriate or meet. And Anne's discussion on AIDS is an example of that. And also on the suicide rate, and probably their life expectancy is less. And all of these kind of things, they receive the right recompense or payment of their behavior and their choice to not glorify God. Verse 28.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
And you can go ahead and list them.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay. That was the one where you see so many, leading homosexuals and lesbians, they take great pleasure in those that do this. So God said, you don't want to retain me. You don't want me to be a part of your life. You don't want to give acknowledgement to me and my existence and my truth. Well, I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind, you know. And that is one unapproved, i.e. rejected, worthless. So their minds are worthless. They're rejected. they're of no value, to do what is convenient to you. So go for it. And then he lists out the things that includes. So they're filled with unrighteousness. Well, unrighteousness is anything, how would I put it? Anything that is not of God. God is the only righteous one. So it's unrighteousness is anything and everything that is motivated, grounded, and done by man for the benefit of man, and particularly for the selfish benefit of man. Fornication, we all know what that is. Wickedness, you know, just wickedness, I would say, would be like a, you know how when a murderer can be, where you murder by accident, but you can murder with intent? Wickedness is like that. It is an intent of cruelty or evil. Premeditated is the word. Covetousness, that's desiring that which isn't yours. Maliciousness. Here it says badness, depravity, evil. It's like a cancer. Cruel. To harm another over and over again. Full of envy. Well, wouldn't a person full of envy be malicious? Wouldn't they be wicked? Wouldn't they want the harm of another? Hence murder. I'm just kind of looking at some of these debates. So there's strife, quarreling, deceit, liars. And then there's that word malignity, and we know that cancers are that. They're malignant. They spread. They're unstoppable. Whisper. So this would be somebody who like spreads rumors. Backbiters. Well, similar kind of thing. Talk behind people's back to put them down and lower them in another person's eyes. Nothing to do with making anything right. It's all to do to put another person down and draw other people into that crowd. Haters of God, so they hate God. That's what you were referring to, Anne, earlier with, oh, that's not in the Bible. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, that was just because they were inhospitable. I mean, they hate God. They'll do anything they say and twist anything to not give any credence to the Lord. Despiteful. Person that does things to the injury of another. They're about the harm of another. Proud. Thinking better of themselves. Boasters. Well, that goes right along with it. It's all about them and look how great they are. And once again, better than others. The gospel is a place where you esteem others better than yourself, which is natural because you see yourself as being not good at all. So it's hardly hard to think somebody else is better than somebody that's not good at all. Inventors of evil things. So this, they kind of interchange because this is somebody that is in a premeditated way seeking to do that which is to harm and another. Inventors of evil things. We'll think of ISIS. Are they not inventors of evil things? Disobedient to parents. That's pretty self-explanatory, both to natural parents, but also you could say to spiritual parents, you know, our parents in the Lord, without understanding, which follows. Disobedience doesn't bring understanding. Obedience does. Covenant breakers. You see that in marriages with the amount of divorces in this nation. Oaths don't mean anything anymore. Megan, you always pointed out where in Titus where it says the elder women teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Here you see, and that would be something that should be natural, but they God giving them over to reprobate minds, it isn't natural. And you see this in our in how our families are nowadays. So many of them, the children are kind of the last thing, and it's all about careers and money and different things like that. And the natural affection that would draw you to do that which is right is gone. Implacable. Implacable is, I believe it's immovable. Okay, it says here truceless, truce-breaker, implacable, and unmerciful. Well, that one makes sense, because God says that he'll be merciful to us as we are merciful to others. And so how appropriate that a person who he's given over to a reprobate mind has no mercy. And then it is certainly a righteous thing for God to have no mercy on them. And then he goes on, who knowing that judgment of God, which goes back to the beginning of this conversation, where when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. So they know the judgment of these actions, and that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know the death sentence that comes with them, but they continue to do them. But they are pleased and happy to see others do likewise. And in a way, it's like the perfect description of Satan. He knows his end, but doesn't he enjoy bringing as many others to the same end as he has?
You know, I knew a fellow who, he called me one day right before I left South Africa for England, and he said, he came over to tell me something. He said, I want to tell you something. And he went round and round the bush. And I thought what he was trying to say was he's homosexual. But he would never come out and say it. And I thought he needed to say it for two reasons. One is so that I wasn't mistaken. And the other so that he actually heard what he said. Anyway, so he eventually told me. And I said, I love you, Pete, but I don't agree with what you're doing. And he was mortified that I wouldn't agree with him. You know, that I didn't say, oh, well, you know, I'm so happy for you that you're, whatever he wanted me to say, and I didn't. But something that I, two things I want to do, say. One is, it talked back there in verse 21 about foolish hearts being darkened. And this little list, or long list really, of unrighteous presentation, how things are that are unrighteous and against the Lord, that's the end of not retaining the Lord, not, what did it say there? Knowing the Lord but not retaining him. In other words, giving yourself over to your own foolish heart and your own understanding. This is the end of it. All these things come out of a completely selfish, self-absorbed, sort of foolish heart. That was one thing. The other thing was, there's some parallel Bibles you can see online just to compare different versions. And I looked at probably six or eight of the main, most common versions, the American Standard, Revised, Good News, Message, New King James, NIV, you know, maybe a couple of others, to look at verse 27. And although they all had the wording different, there's no ways you could read any of those main sort of interpretations and not see what it was actually saying. So it's just, you know, one of the other things back there about our foolish heart being darkened. Is our heart is foolish, and we bring it to the light so that our deeds can be made manifest, whether they're wrought in the Lord or not. And if we don't want to bring it there to the light, which is to the Lord, then this is what precedes all unrighteousness.
Megan, there's Ricky sent me a chat that I'll say first, just so I don't forget it, but he said that one of the points Steve makes is that homosexual is a man's term, that God calls them sodomites, which is a much more vulgar term, and much way less acceptable, is how Rick put it. So, but I wanted to say something about when your friend Pete came to you, and you said you wanted him to say it for two reasons, and they were striking to me. And the most striking thing is that the first reason was that you wanted to know if you were right, because what happens in that kind of thing is you think you're right, and then it becomes established in you that you are right, and you had the wisdom to not want to go down that road, but you wanted to know one way or another. If it wasn't, praise God, but if it was, then you weren't believing, you know, some vapor, something you thought you knew. But the beautiful thing is not rejecting him, but rejecting that which he did as not acceptable to God, I'm sure was a great gift to him, even if he hasn't opened it yet, so to speak.
Amen. But
the first thing is a very important thing. You didn't assume. You didn't want to assume. You wanted to really know, even though you ended up being right. Sometimes we're not, and that was the right thing and noteworthy.
I thought it was also, I amen to that, but it was also important for him. You know, he was in church. I knew him from church. It was necessary that he actually heard his own words, what was in his heart. Perchance the hearing of it might make him see it.
Yeah.
As the last I heard from him some years back, he had not yet repented, I guess is the way to term it, because whether he's seen it or not, that I don't know. But his lifestyle was still the same.
And I'm sure that, I will be honest with you, this is not a subject I have any great wisdom on. I know from that one testimony I had, the Lord just delivered him. I suppose, though, in that testimony, you saw that the guy repented, but couldn't make that separation, and God made it for him. So your word repent would be correct. If you need him, call on him. He's there, and what you need, he'll give you.
Amen. And he is gracious and quick to forgive.
I think what happens to people oftentimes, and I don't mean all homosexuals, because there's some that are just what these verses describe, where they aren't interested, they don't want to know. But there are some, like in any area of sin, that don't know how to get out of it. And don't even know if they are considered worth helping, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And things like this, homosexuality, it's a shameful thing. But so what? I mean, just let the Lord, come to the Lord. He'll bring you through it. He'll deliver you, whatever your need is. Who cares about the shame? Paul said back at the beginning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It testifies against me. I'm not ashamed of that. There's no shame in repentance. There's only shame in not repenting. That's the gospel. We all are ashamed, or ought to be, in the sense of the acknowledging of our sinfulness. But it's all washed away, by the gospel. There's no shame in Christ, but we all have shame outside of him, all of us, every one of us. And it's shameful shame, I don't care what you haven't done. It doesn't matter. God said, judge us all as sinners. Sin is shameful. So, that the Lord's able to give those who will the right words to minister in any given circumstance to a person who is looking for an answer. And so we have this, where we have the opportunity to minister to somebody, and it's some, you know, may the Lord quicken us if they're a person that wants to hear, that we might bring them that word of deliverance.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're at the end of the hour. Looks like we'll move into Romans chapter 2 next week, and appreciate you guys joining us. May the Lord bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.